The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore,
well, we're talking about
came across my timeline because Sean and I were discussing the players that Miami is losing, and it'll probably be pretty tough to duplicate what they did next season, or what they did duplicate what they did this season with all the elite talent going out the door. So there's this clips of Bane and Mezzador and their pass rushing, true pass rushing reps where it wasn't RPO stuff against Carter Smith, I guess widely considered either Indiana's best offensive lineman or their second best, depending on how you feel about Coogan. You know a guy who's not going to like his tape? Carter Smith. He got abused anytime Indiana actually wanted to drop back to pass. I don't know what pro scouts thought of him, but against actual NFL pass rushers, didn't go well. Didn't go well for Carter Smith. And it explains why Indiana turned themselves into a RPO back shoulder fade offense throughout the game when they weren't running the football. All right, sticking with the NFL, we were just talking about guys who will get drafted. Maybe the Titans, who will have a top pick, one of the top picks in the draft, may go with Mayonoa or Bane. But they have a new head coach, Robert Saleh. And we've talked about, at least I've talked about how I would like some actual rivalries in the AFC South, like the Titans and the Texans, because of, you know, city history, Oilers, Titans, all that stuff, has something, particularly between the ownership group. We know that the McNairs don't like the Strunks. But other than that, there's not a lot of juice there. But with Saleh in the AFC South against Liam Cohen, a man he said at one point, I'm going to wreck your life or something like that, I welcome it. Like, the Texans don't have that. I think Saleh and D'Amico will know each other. They'll calmly shake hands at end of games. I don't know that Shane Steichen's about that life either. But I will watch every Titans, Jags handshake to see what happens. If you don't know the story, the Jags went into San Francisco and beat the 49ers. The 49ers had Robert Saleh as their DC. And Saleh did not like some of the things that Liam Cohen, I believe, said during the week, and got after him. And in the middle of everyone dapping each other up, saying good game, stay healthy, all that stuff, Robert Saleh wanted nothing more to make sure that Liam Cohen wasn't healthy coming out of the game. So, thank you, Titans. I don't know that Robert Saleh, as a second-time head coach, will do good things, but I do know he doesn't like Liam Cohen. Doesn't like that stupid Duval chant. I love it all. Give me more of that. We don't have rivalries.
Duval.
We don't have rivalries in this division. I need, because the division, relatively speaking, is kind of boring. Like, everyone's whatever. Whoa. Callahan, D'Amico, Steichen, all those guys. They don't
Too many high road guys.
I need some low road guys, and I think Sala and Cohen will take the low road.
We need a Ben Johnson to randomly have beef with Matt LaFleur. We need that.
That random non-handshake.
Last year at the opening press conference where they're like, Matt LaFleur, do you have like some history of Ben Johnson? He's like, no, never met the guy.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. So other than one was the Lions OC and the other is a Packers head coach. So, and then obviously Johnson became the Chicago Bears head coach. So Sala said the Jags legally did some legal sign stealing. And then Cohen said you need to keep my name out of your mouth during the postgame. And Sala said, I will F your world up. I will F your world up.
My world?
I don't know what that means. I thought he just meant kicking his ass, but F your world up means this is a generational feud.
Yeah. Like,
I will do things.
I will tear you down as a man.
I will tear your family apart. Like,
I'll ruin your career. Yeah,
that's like when Denzel's character and what's the name of that movie was Dakota Fanning. The first time they got together.
Man on Fire.
Not Equalizer 3, when they were in the movie, a reunion of sorts. Yeah, Man on Fire, where he said, I will tear down this entire organization piece by piece.
Yeah.
That's what Sala's talking about with Liam Cohen. I will tear you apart piece by piece.
Yeah.
I hope so. I need it. I need the AFC South to get interesting. And if Sala and Cohen are going to provide it while the Texans win their 11 to 12 games and do it in a rather boring fashion outside of their defense, I'll just look to the East and see what's going on over there.
Well, they're again winning their 10, 11 games, giving all the glory to God.
I got a guy saying I will F your world up. What are we talking about here? Get Sala versus – I know Sala's going to win that fight. But I need those two organizations to become like – you know how there are certain divisions in boxing where you have all the attention being paid to the divisions that matter to people, like the Titans and the Jags are never going to be anything that really matters to me. But if you give me two guys who just hate each other,
the undercard,
yeah, I got the main event,
because
we're here watching the Texans play, thinking they got chances to win a Super Bowl with their defense. Give me the undercard of Cohen versus.
I mean,
and then if Trevor Lawrence and Cam Ward play well at quarterback, you got something else to look at. But really, Cohen versus Sala. I want it. Can I get it four times a year?
Noon, because that's the undercard. It's on at noon.
Just get the Colts. You don't have to play either of these teams. We'll put you against someone else. I just need the Jags and the Titans to play each other four times a year. Just for the possibility of Sala effing his world up after game.
Hey, Colts, doesn't really make sense that you're in this division anyway.
Yeah, in the North. You're supposed to be in the North anyway. What are you doing?
Oh, because the Indianapolis Colts are in the AFC South, did the South just win a national championship for the first time in 3 years? Last night?
I don't think.
Team from Indiana?
I don't think the SEC is going to claim it because they do have Big Ten on their uniforms. So that's three Big Ten titles in a row. The SEC can't like that. And by the way, we're at an impasse with the whole, will the playoffs expand, because the Big Ten and the SEC can't agree. So we are well on our way, it looks like, unless some agreement is made by Friday, to another year of the 12-team playoff. And this time around, Notre Dame would be guaranteed a spot in the playoff as long as they finish in the top 12, as opposed to what happened this year.
I don't want to drift away from
Sala versus Cohen.
AFC South football.
Sure.
Did you see Marcus Freeman on the pregame desk?
I did. I know he picked Miami. He said he did it for no bulletin board material.
Hilarious thing that he did. Being like, hey, we play him next, all right?
Yeah.
So
I think it's the second game of the season for both, but he didn't want to provide any bulletin board material, so he picked Miami to win.
And then Nick Saban was like, you know, when I was on this desk, when I was still an active coach and not in the national championship game, I never picked games. So he was like, I
just avoided any conflict. What are you on?
Yeah, he's like, why are you picking?
Yeah, why are you picking? It's like Herb Street doesn't pick the games that he calls. Hey, if you got an opponent next?
You played these teams.
You played one in the playoff last year, and of course played one in the regular season this year, and now it's got to play them again next year. Like, hey, Freeman, just back away. Say, hey,
you don't have to pick.
I don't I can do that for you.
I did think it was weird that he had like the little graphic, and I was like, is he really gonna pick this game? Like, I was like, who is he gonna pick?
Yeah, Saban's like, you're not tricking me. You're not gonna put me in the grease. Freeman, not so adept at dancing around that.
Okay, back to AFC South football.
Okay.
Also, do you have some student versus teacher?
Sala versus D'Amico, yeah.
Sala versus
D'Amico. But
that's
just going to be those guys yucking it up at midfield before the game, and then they'll give a nice handshake.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
D'Amico needs to find someone he doesn't like. But he's not going to do that. What,
no,
he's going to get into a verbal feud with Shane Steichen?
I could see him getting into like a passive aggressive press conference back and forth, you know? I can't really see him get into like a tough handshake, like putting your finger in some guy's chest, like Jim Schwartz. Jim Schwartz and Jim Harbaugh way back, like when Harbaugh was coaching the Niners, where it's just like they actually just like hated each other's guts.
Harbaugh didn't like Carroll in college, and that went over to the NFL.
What's your deal, man?
Which, yeah.
To be fair, fair question from Pete Carroll. But, yeah, we need D'Amico to develop a rivalry.
Because if I have to pay attention to these teams in regards to their record when the Texans are concerned, at least give me something to care about on that
side. Give me some juice.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
And if that's a long-standing thing where they always do the fly-by handshake, even that's good enough for me right now. And, of course,
start hating Lean Cohen. It seems easy to
– Yeah, I mean, he just –
What if everyone just hated Lean Cohen?
He won
Cohen?
The division in his first year.
This is how he does the champ.
Duval.
He doesn't even get it right. If everyone wants to point at Liam Cohen and go, that's
like
the guy
nerd.
We hate, well, a lot of coaches do, I guess, particularly when they take off their hats.
I just think the visual of – Liam Cohen beefing with Robert Sala.
Well, we already
D'Amico
got it.
Ryans. Like, no, just like the physical matchup between these two where you're like, well, if they actually did fight, like, they would rip his arms off.
Yeah, Robert Sala always one of the top picks when it comes to which coach would win a fight against another coach.
Which coach is wearing a shirt, a team issue gear that's like a half size too small.
When Sala watches the refs do that, he's like, I get you, man.
He's like, Well,
there's a bunch of refs. Like, is it Hockley's son?
I don't think Hockley's son does it.
Shane Hockley? I think he does it, too.
Okay. Does he do the... I knew... I mean, his dad was the...
Oh,
the innovator.
The first guy to do that. But I think his son might have a shirt that's... Sean. Nah, you're right. Sean's not that guy. Sean Hockley doesn't do it. But there are some.
And Ed was, you'll see one or two... They're not really the main referees, you know. They're not like the guys that are on TV explaining the call. They're definitely a lot of them aren't in the playoffs. I feel like they're lower in the pecking order. It's the look at me guys, you know.
I gotcha. Yeah,
the guys that are worried about getting the call right.
No one's gonna know his name. He's a college football ref named Mike DeFee.
Is he the Big 12 guy?
He might be, but he had the.
Yeah, he was like ridiculous.
Yeah, like, all right, buddy, relax.
All right.
No one's here for you.
Yeah, because I think he first made it big because he did an Alabama.
He did a title
game.
And everyone was like, well, look at the buff ass ref.
What the hell is this?
And no one's got a problem with you staying in shape. It's that you accentuate it with, well, this shirt's a size too small. It's not necessary.
Yeah.
Like it's the physical version of what the NBA ref who. What's his name? Bill Kennedy. Like Mike DeFee's the physical version of Bill Kennedy, where he does the
makes a meal out of the
the replay stuff. Yeah,
the replay explanation. Yeah,
sure. Yeah, all right, Bill Kennedy. I kind of like it.
It's on the. I think it's because he's never done it in a big spot against Mike, where he's overturning something.
It's true.
If he's
building drama and suspense.
Yeah, just like explaining it like a third grade teacher, like. Now, the reason that it was overturned, or he'll do some where he says he will fake out whether it's overturned. Like he'll start explaining it. Therefore, it has been overturned. And you're like, oh my God, it sounds like you're setting up for stands.
Yeah, Bill Kennedy had to be wheeled off the court after suffering an apparent hamstring strain about a week ago. So
well soon, Bill.
He's recovering. All right, we'll go to break with that. Mike DeFee. All right, buddy. up the size of the shirt.
He's the biggest clown.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. We'll get to the caller. Sorry, I can't see your name when we come back. If you want to follow them, 713-780-3776. We'll talk about some more NFL hires because another guy got hired. It was like a afternoon news drop. Hey, I know the team in the city is playing for the title game, but we got to get some news out too. If you don't like it, don't worry about it. You got a title game to focus on anyway. So we'll talk about that. And the new Dolphins coach looks eerily similar to two famous characters from the 90s. I want to see what Sean thinks, and you as well. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Now back to the Del Olalea Show from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Del Olalea.
It was Sunday night, so you had the end of Bears Rams to contend with. But did you watch the first episode of A Night of Seven Kingdoms?
Yeah. I did that, and then I watched the second episode of The Pit, which I know comes out on Thursday. I just didn't get to it.
You know, I think I'm going to like A Night of Seven Kingdoms. It has a different tone than the shows from the Game of Thrones universe. It's
more zany.
Sure. I mean, if you think about the openings, one of the opening scenes where you hear the Game of Thrones theme and then you see what happens next. Yes, I don't know if that's in the zany category, but it is the departure from what you normally see.
More of like every like third character just like seems like he just walked out of like a comedy. You know, like the master of the games.
It almost like, feels
this
like
just, is this like an Adam Sandler movie?
Is this Robin Hood Men in Tights I'm watching?
Yeah.
In some ways it's like that. But that will be the longest episode of the season. Going forward, you're going to get them in a 30-minute range. So we'll see just how that plays with
make
people.
Make a movie at this point. Like, what? Because isn't it six episodes?
Yes.
Six episodes, about a half hour each. It's like,
but you want to extend that.
Three-hour movie.
You want to take up space in the zeitgeist.
I get it.
By having six episodes during an HBO prestige Sunday night. Let's get to Payne here. I brought it up because he wants to talk about a show and a movie. A Night of a Seven Kingdoms, Sunday nights on HBO. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's up, Del? Yeah, I called for that show. I started watching it. I was in the middle of eating, and so the main character decided to take the Browns to the Super Bowl, so I checked out on it.
Okay.
And I flipped over to watch, what's that? It's a Korean movie, Train to Busan. Oh, man, that movie's a banger. I don't know if you watched it or not, but if you have, let me know what you think about it. Thank you. Have a great day.
Who do you think I am? Have I watched A Train to Busan? What are we talking about here? Of course I have. You don't know what that's about. It is, you might hear, well, a train to a certain location, how could it be a banger? Well, that's because the entire population around the train are zombies. You have to fight through zombies. The train is supposed to take a dad and his daughter to I think it's a daughter. Maybe it's a random girl he picks up. I forgot. It's a little girl he picks up. I forgot how it actually. You know, it's his daughter. And they try to get to a safe spot. Instead, the zombies are like, nah.
What if we zombie it up?
Yeah, and see how you survive. So that, okay. And of course, they made A Train to Busan 2. That one, not as well regarded as
Cruise Control?
The first one. No, it's not a speed movie. If it was a speed movie, it wouldn't even be on a train. They switch it up.
Yeah, put it on a cruise.
But
zombie cruise.
But A Train to Busan presents Peninsula. That's the sequel. So it's not even Train to Busan 2. Train to Busan presents.
I love it when they say like a movie franchise present, like Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw. Like,
yeah,
they have to shoehorn the title for like, please watch this.
Yeah, so Train to Busan is readily available on Zumo, I guess, for free. Then if you want to watch the sequel, you can watch it on Netflix.
All right. And Pena, I would say give Night of the Seven Kingdoms another chance.
Yeah,
not while you're eating.
If you go by what happened, what they showed in the, this is what's going to happen in the season, there's going to be some dramatic, action-y stuff as well.
Yeah.
But at least episode one was about the
there's
main.
Some, yeah.
main character, just finding his way as they set up the entire season.
Actually, you know, towards the middle of the episode, he starts eating. So you'll like that.
Yeah. If all you want to do is watch
the opposite of what happens.
A giant man eat. He eats as well.
Yeah. I didn't know they had like pastries like that. It looked like he had a jelly donut.
It did look like that.
I was
just
like, I didn't know they had that. Yeah, in Westeros?
Try to figure out, how did they make that? I mean, I guess, sure. Normally, the small folk don't get to eat that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it was stuff in his face.
Yeah, he walked into that tent and got a chance to take part in the Baratheon feast.
Not great, I'll say, like, fuel to put in your body right before a tourney.
Not the tourney. No.
I think...
he did have that giant, I don't know, if whatever type of animal it was he took a bite out of. He did have that, so that's the protein you're looking for.
Yeah. I'm just not sure if...
the pastry's going to work?
Yeah, if Tom Brady and Alex Guerrero sign off on
that. Yeah, it's not part of TB12. No chance. Tom Brady at the title game in a NorCal hat yesterday, looking at...
Reppin' NorCal.
Looking at what likely will be his pick, since he is a part owner of the Raiders, and Fernando Mendoza led his team to a title last night. All right, so... there was a hire beyond Robert Saleh. This happened maybe a couple hours before the title game. So unless you decided the college football national title game wasn't for you, actually, what I meant to say was, if you did decide the college football national title wasn't for you, then this news may have broken through. But for a lot of people, oh, breaking news? Oh, okay. I got something more important to pay attention to. Jeff Hafley was hired. He is the former Packers defensive coordinator. The Dolphins hired him. He used to be the BC head coach. He left to be the Ohio State defensive coordinator, which opened up the job for Bill O'Brien. He coordinated for the Buckeyes, then coordinated for the Packers, and now he got a head coaching job. Sean, I saw someone say that Jeff Hafley looks like the combination of Beavis and Butthead, and now I can't see anything but that. Type in Jeff Hafley and see if you agree.
I can see it.
He looks like Beavis and Butthead combined and created Jeff Hafley. It's the haircut, most of all. The haircut
and the head shape.
Yeah, the haircut and the head shape lead to that visual. I don't know if he'll grow his hair out or if he'll just wear a hat, or maybe he'll just wear a headset, not a hat. But
he doesn't look like a hat guy based off of
images. From what I can tell. So if you. The name is Jeff with the J, Hafley, H-A-F-L-E-Y, and you can see what that one Facebook poster thought. That suggestion went viral, and now the teeth, the hair, the head, Beavis and Butthead combo.
Yeah, and I, you know, this is unfair. I kind of think it'll be hard for him to dig out of that hole.
Yeah.
Like, I really feel like it'll be hard for him to beat the rap of Coach Beavis and Butthead. The first time
look at this. Can you see this? It's probably too far away.
It's a little too... I mean, I can see it's
the head shape.
Man's head, yes.
Yeah, it's Hafley, yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah, I think the first time he goes for it on fourth down and in a questionable spot and doesn't get it...
Do you think someone...
Here's Coach Butthead.
Someone... is going to tweet out the great Cornholio
or something like
that.
Yep.
Don't, hey, Hafley, don't ever wind up with your shirt over your head.
they win the division.
Struggling to take off the quarter zip and he's got a shirt on. Don't ever wind up with your shirt over your head because it gets stuck.
I guess the good news is if you ever have to hastily put on a t-shirt in a football context, you have just won something. And you have
that's
one
true.
You have one something big because they don't do the t-shirts for, you know, AFC East division champion.
If you win the AFC title, you'll get a shirt.
Yeah. And at that point, then it's cool that you put on the – until you lose the Super Bowl. And then people are like, Butthead loses the Super Bowl.
Yeah. you would focus on Butthead as opposed to Beavis. But, yeah.
Because calling someone Coach Butthead.
It doesn't hit the same. Coach Beavis doesn't hit the same as Coach Butthead. You're right about that. But he is the now head coach of the Dolphins. So there's still jobs open. Stefanski has the Falcons job. The Cardinal job is still available. The Raiders job is still open. What else is out there for you going around the league? With the Titans, as we mentioned, got hired Saleh.
Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona. The Cardinals, the Raiders.
Browns.
And the Ravens.
Yeah.
The Ravens is still open. So... if we just go by history, the Ravens is the most attractive of all those jobs.
Bills?
Yeah, Bills came open yesterday. So,
But you had to work for Brandon Bean, apparently, who can't get fired.
No. Oh, speaking of that, we talked about how the hell did Brandon Bean get promoted when Sean McDermott got fired. There's reporting that suggests that McDermott called out the Buffalo roster as one that wasn't Super Bowl worthy, and it upset Brandon Bean and another executive, and that's one of the reasons that McDermott had to go. So, much like Hannibal Buress once said, why are you booing me? I'm right. I'm right. He was right. That is not a roster that is Super Bowl worthy. When you had to sign Jordan Poyer to come back and play, wash Jordan Poyer, you were depending on at points because of injuries, and he was one of your depth pieces. The Buffalo Bills roster, of course, has been carried by Josh Allen, and that has become, well, the Josh Allen discussion is one where are you allowed to criticize him? And if you do criticize him, you're criticizing the best, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And if you don't criticize him, then you're showing favoritism because we just can't have a discussion about how he played. It has to be turned into narratives. But when it comes to that roster, as far as real contenders are concerned, not better than Seahawks roster. Let's just go by the final eight. Not better than Seahawks roster. It's better than the 49er roster because of injuries.
Yeah, but healthy Niners? Healthy,
no chance.
Yeah.
Not better than the 49er roster. Not better than the Texans roster. If you just
top to bottom.
Healthy, yeah. Top to bottom. Not better than the Broncos roster, top to bottom, if you had all your guys.
No. It,
you go into the final eight of the playoffs, not better than the Bears, not better than the Rams. You go in the final, you had the worst roster of all of them. You're only there because Josh Allen is Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And yet, McDermott calls it out, and he's got to go. And Bean's like, I drafted Josh Allen. Shut up.
It is funny. They did seem to, like, learn all the wrong lessons from the Kansas City Chiefs fall off, relative fall off, where it's like, hey, they won a Super Bowl without any receivers. We can do that. It's like, well, they didn't have Travis Kelce. That helped. And I guess
and a better defense than you did.
Yeah, they had a better defense. They had a better, best defensive player is Chris Jones. Like, it's someone who not just is better than anyone on the Bills defense, but, like, plays a position uniquely positioned to blow up big third and fourth downs. If you can get an elite pass rush from the inside, it's like, oh, play's over. Like, whatever the opposing team had called, doesn't really work because the guard just got beat immediately. So they don't really have that. It's like it really was just like a watered down version of the Chiefs, kind of second, or I guess next two Super Bowls,
So the report comes from Vic Carucci, who covers the Bills. During a meeting held 5 weeks ago between McDermott, Bean, and Pegula, the coach pointed out what the roster lacked to win a Super Bowl, but Bean and Pegula did not like McDermott's assessment. So,
and Pegula.
And throughout the season, like, McDermott kind of took thinly veiled or less so thinly veiled shots at the roster, like, hey, the Jags, that Jacoby Myers acquisition was a pretty good one for him. He's been a pretty good player. Apparently, Bean tried to get a deal done and couldn't get it done. Mm. So McDermott wanted to be known. That's a good job that they did getting him. Didn't want to play Tre'Davious White, who now is best known for being called for a pass interference call that he thought wasn't a pass interference. But anyone else who's reasonable, at least in my eyes, you can't grab a guy before the ball gets there and say, you don't know ball. That's what he said after the game. The ref doesn't know ball. That's why that shouldn't have been pass interference. If he knew ball, he wouldn't call it.
And he got to yell at the ref. Basically consequence-free. I mean, he could get flagged.
Half the distance. You toss your helmet and yell at the ref.
It turned like a 28-yard field goal into a 21-yard field goal.
Yeah. If you're going to do it, know that your season is over and it's going to cost you like 6 yards or whatever it was.
Yeah.
If you want to toss your helmet while you're still on the field, that's the best time to do it. So you're playing Tre'Davious White, who was once a Bill, then left, had major lower leg injuries, and you have to bring him back. And if they're not getting great Josh Allen, they got real problems, and they got the best and the worst of Josh Allen on Saturday, and that's why they're at home, that's why McDermott's fired, and that's why the Bills are looking for a new head coach. All right, we'll go to break with that. You should join us. Maybe you want to talk about how you were trying to eat, and then there was a bowel movement in a show you're trying to watch. and then you couldn't eat anymore, or you had to flip the channel on the show. That's what Pena had to deal with on Sunday night. What did you have to deal with? 713-780-3776.
ESPN
97.5. No Rocket makes the starting unit for the West in the All-Star game. It's a combo of fan vote, player vote, and I believe, was it GM vote? Kevin Durant, the closest. The players had him at 5. The fans, or media vote, excuse me. It's media vote, fan vote, player vote, and the players had him at 5. Fans had him at 9. And the media had him at 7. So he was, and how they do it is they do the weighted score, and the lower your score, the better. It just shows how, if like, for example, Jokic, player rank 1, fan rank 2, media rank 2. So his completed weighted score is 1.75 and so on and so forth. So Kevin Durant had a weighted score of 7.5. Wembanyama, 5.75. He's your final or last starter for the West. The players had him at 7, but because the fans, he was tied with Anthony Edwards at 5.75, but because the fans had him at 6, one spot ahead of Edwards, he wins the tiebreaker in that one. Of course, none of this actually matters because it'll just be world versus U.S., and then there'll be another U.S. team. We've talked about how convoluted and dumb it is that they have Western Conference and Eastern Conference All-Stars, but then they're just going to split them up into world and U.S. teams. It does open up the door for Alpi to play for the world team, because I don't know that he strictly makes the team as a West starter if you just go by some of this. The coaches have to throw him on. And if you don't know the format, it's 8-8-8, 2 U.S. teams, 1 world team. And in their brilliance, Adam Silver let us know that if there are not enough players to meet the standard of 16 U.S. players and 8 world players, he'll just pick more and throw them on the right roster to make it all work.
Whoever needs more players.
Whoever needs more players, I'll throw you I'll throw an Eastern European here. And a,
yeah, I can grab an Avdija, Wagner. Yeah,
or a guy out of Compton, California here to get on the U.S. squad just to make it work, even though that's not what I want, but that's what I'll do to get at least 16 U.S. players and 8 world players.
I want to know how they break up the two U.S. teams. Is it West and East?
At least that would give some importance to this Western Conference, Eastern Conference thing, because that seemed to be something they wanted to hold on to.
Yeah, because they're doing, like, it got announced as the Western Conference All-Stars announced.
Yes.
Or the Western Conference All-Star starters announced. I'm like, they're not going to start together on any team ever. So, I don't know.
It seems silly.
Yeah. They should go back to a draft. They should just do, or have the USA guys just draft among yourselves. Just that way.
So the 16 have 2 team captains and pick between them to get to 8 for each team?
Yeah. Why not?
You throw it on.
Let's have a little American pride. Come on.
I don't know that people are going to care about this format. I know.
No, because it takes 5 minutes to explain.
Also, do I care if one U.S. squad beats another U.S. squad for the opportunity to play the European squad or the world squad? I do appreciate what will come of it, where people will be alerted to the fact that some of the best players in the world aren't Americans. Like when they find out Shea is actually Canadian.
Yeah, I don't know. Will be tough.
Shea, and then there's, I don't know if Jamal Murray will get voted in, but he's another one. Even our very own Dylan Brooks, our used-to-be-very-own Dylan Brooks, Canadian as well. So the Canadians, you guys have done very poorly in world events considering how much talent you have. What's the deal there?
Considering you have, like, probably a top 3
what are we doing?
Talent. Overall talent, not just Shea.
Yeah.
You have, like, top to bottom. Like,
they don't have any bigs outside of Kelly Olynyk, but still.
You've got
enough to finish better than you have.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, I always look at, like, when it is some sort of international competition, I'm just like, how many NBA players do you have?
Yeah, RJ Barrett. Yeah. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
Like, if you can fill out a roster of only NBA players, like, you're pretty good.
Yeah, and yet they've done nothing.
No.
It's really, they can't convince Andrew Wiggins to play for them. That's a problem. If only they can convince Wiggins to play.
And I don't care enough to investigate why Andrew Wiggins refuses to play for Canada, but whatever.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of these guys. Shaden Sharp, Dort's on the team.
Nimhart.
Edie now could join him. He's Canadian, so that'll help if he's ever healthy. So they got plenty. That team should be playing the U.S. in the gold medal game.
I feel like it should be North America versus the world.
Just why?
Give us a couple Canadians. I don't think world when I think Canada. You know,
I don't think North American hits the way Silver wants it to. He wants something that gets people
excited.
Stars
and stripes.
Yeah, and he wants the U.S. to play the world. I don't think he could get people. I think he believes if you throw on the U.S. uniform, that'll get people to care about the game. I don't know that North American stars versus the world stars is going to hit the same, at least in his eyes. Yeah. I'll tell you right now, it's not going to hit, period, with me.
No.
That's a Sunday night, or whenever they do it, I'm good.
I'll watch it. I'll, like, always have it on, but I will probably also, like, be on my phone.
I need them. Dylan Brooks will probably, if he ever made, he's playing pretty well, probably won't make the world team.
It's tough to crack the eight.
I would need someone to be the boxing guy who sells the fight. Who's going to sell this event to me? Like, is Shea Gilgeous-Alexander going to come out and call someone on the U.S. team trash?
Yeah.
No, he's not. But
we're going to take over America. we've proven that we can take over America.
I know your government thinks you can take Canada, but at least on the court.
We will
be the dominant
force
in North
America. That's what they really need to play into, like, you know, the world. We just play basketball the right way. not like the AAU culture.
Yeah, yeah.
Never mind that Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, like, went to high school in America.
Spent a year at Kentucky. He's the epitome of all that stuff.
Yeah. He, like, played AAU basketball.
Yeah, what are we talking about? But that's the format. No Rockets. We'll see if the coaches, I imagine they'll get Kevin Durant on the team. And we'll see if Alpi can make the world team. We're talking about some NBA. The Rockets didn't play last night or yesterday afternoon on MLK Day. But someone did, and he tore his ACL. The Warriors lose Jimmy Butler, the guy they traded for last year and gave an extension to as part of their final push under Steph to be relevant and possibly be a contender. We know the backstory. They wanted Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant said no, so they pivoted to Jimmy Butler. They gave him his extension, which made him very happy to play basketball. Well, he is out for the foreseeable future. He tears his ACL against the team who tanked last year. The Heat happened to be in town. I mentioned Andrew Wiggins. He got his goodbye video because they had not been in San Francisco since the trade happened. He was honored for his contributions, and then later in the game, Jimmy Butler tears his ACL. So the Warriors are in a very tough spot. A lot of money invested in an older player who will be out for the foreseeable future, and that's the risk. Of course, that could happen to a younger player. But nagging injuries, keeping older players out is generally the fear. This one, Jimmy's body broke down, and he's had knee issues before, never to the point that a torn ACL was a thing, at least not over the last half decade or so. But that's a big blow to the Warriors, and I wouldn't even say title hopes. They're not a real title contender. But that's a team who would believe if they got in the playoffs, much like what happened last year with the Rockets, their experience, their know-how, all those cliches could get them through a couple series. Instead, it's Steph, Draymond, and Pods. Not a great trio.
They still have Buddy Hield, but he doesn't play, apparently, for them
anymore. That's why I said they have Pods.
Very nice that I got to see the best, you know, three games of Buddy Hield's life.
Against the Rockets.
It was a real honor.
That's great, buddy, for showing up in that series.
Yeah, I'll tell my grandkids about it. From Jeff Stotts, an injury analyst who, you know, has like a database for all sorts of NBA injuries. He said Jimmy Butler at 36 is the second oldest player to tear his ACL since the start of the 05-06 season. Chris Birdman Anderson was 38 when he tore his ACL. 2016-17. So that really just speaks to, like, we probably just saw the last of, like, star level Jimmy Butler before he tore his ACL.
Yeah.
I get ACL tears aren't, like,
you said,
as.
Yeah, you can, you're more, they're more equipped to get you back to nearly full health.
But like you said, with Butler's body kind of breaking down.
Yeah, he's missed.
He had a lot of miles on the odometer.
Yeah, he's missed a lot of time due to lower leg injuries, and this one is one where we won't see him until next year, if at all. Certainly not a guy the Warriors can count on going forward, but he's will be on their books. So if you're preying on the downfall of the Warriors, because that's just because that's what you do, you've got one more thing to be happy about, I guess. Jimmy Butler out for...
I'm not happy.
Yeah, I'm not rooting for it, but...
No, I wanted to be the one to... I want to let them know it was me. That's what, I want to go full that old lady from
you
original
want,
Game
You want
of
to
Thrones.
Be one of the Tyrells?
Yeah. Let them know it was me. We had our chance last year.
Sean Mapes wants to be Olenna Tyrell.
Yeah, I wanted to be the one to kill the Warriors, not Jimmy Butler's ACL.
I knew
the dirty Miami Heat.
I don't think the Miami Heat was involved.
No, it wasn't involved at all.
No. So the end of the Warriors.
Pat Riley made the call. He saw the national championship game wasn't going their way.
And decided, hey, I'm going to leave here with something.
Give the people of Miami something.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler done for a good bit now, and so are the Warriors. All right, we got one more segment to go. It'll be very short. But if you do want to join us as we wrap it up before Rich Eisen takes over, 713-780-3776. Me and Sean, one more segment. We will be back.
You're listening. It's the Del Olalea Show, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Del Olalea.
So the final AP poll is out. I imagine they will send Indiana an AP poll national championship trophy, although it's no longer important if they still make it. They used to, so they may just send them one to say, hey, you are our champion as well. Unanimous, of course, go 16-0. They get all 66 first-place votes. And really, the final AP poll is just about how big you lost in the playoff. Like, Alabama's at 9. Why are they behind A&M when A&M didn't actually win a playoff game? I don't know. A&M is 8, but Alabama won a playoff game and then got embarrassed in the quarterfinal. So they're at 9. Notre Dame is at 10. Texas Tech at 7. Georgia at 6. They lost a close game. Ohio State lost by 10. It was close in the final minute. So Oregon at 4 because they're in a semifinal. Ole Miss at 3, but Ole Miss lost in close fashion and Oregon didn't. So they really finished ahead of Oregon.
Really is just ordered by, like, what round and then vibes.
Yeah, pretty much, except A&M finishes. Now, Alabama does have 4 losses, but A&M did not win a playoff game, lost at home. But Alabama, because of how badly they got their ass kicked by Indiana, finishes behind them. And Texas is a top 12 team. They don't finish in the top 10. Oklahoma finishes behind Texas because you didn't win your playoff game, and you lost to Texas. You have the same record, so we'll drop you to 13. BYU's in there as well at 11. So,
do you really think if BYU and Texas plays?
No, I don't, but it's not a discussion we should have anymore because the season is over. In fact, it's a discussion that's unnecessary because the season is over. There's no reason to have that talk about because the teams are completely different now. Texas has the most expensive wide receiver in college football history on their roster. And Cam Coleman, who they paid a lot of money
highest paid.
I mean, in the NIL era he is. I don't know what they might have paid for Roy Williams way back when.
Yeah, inflation.
Yeah, all those things. But as far as the
What's
NIL
Jeremiah
era.
Jeremiah Smith getting?
Yeah, well, that's true.
Is he playing for the love of the game out there?
Well, unlikely. You bring up a good name. Who knows what Ohio State's paying to keep him around. But as far as public knowledge, Cam Coleman.
If I was Malachi Toney, I'd be.
I did see people like, hey, the biggest things that Miami needs to do is make sure Malachi Toney stays, Markel Bell stays, and they mentioned some other guy, which is nuts, right? That, hey, you just came off losing a title game by 6 points. Now make sure the homegrown guy who went to school in South Florida doesn't dip. It's just part of the equation today. There have been no rumors about him leaving.
No, it's just...
It's just like, hey, let's make sure he doesn't leave. Like, Ryan Williams got a lot of credit for the first half of his, well, really just for the Georgia game, honestly, as far as his freshman year.
The first half of his freshman year.
Yeah. Jeremiah Smith, of course, took over in the back half as far as best freshman wide receiver.
Yeah.
Malachi Toney, clearly the best freshman receiver this year by a wide, wide margin.
I was thinking, I was like, is this the last year we're just not going to have, like, dude in like going into the NFL, basically. Yeah. Like where it's still Jordan Tyson, who's like really a really good college receiver. It's just like next year is just going to be insane.
Jeremiah Smith.
And then the year after, Malachi Doney.
He is small. I wonder how fast he'll run. Of course, he can get faster. He's just 18, as we heard quite a bit. So
seemed pretty fast.
Yeah. I mean, he's got great instincts. I wonder when he's, you know, an actual grown man, what that'll be like for him.
So crazy.
As he goes to the NFL.
He's an actual grown man.
Yeah. Yeah. I know he's doing all those things out there.
Yeah. No, I've seen the picture of, like, I think it was Cristobal at, like, some camp with Malachi Doney, and he looks like a child. Like, how did Cristobal recruit this child?
Yeah. Well, you get the nickname Baby Jesus for a reason.
Yeah.
And he certainly was great throughout the season and was great in the final. Just wasn't enough as Indiana wins the title. All right, we'll go to break. That's what that music means. I mean, not break. We're done for the day. That's what that music means.
A really long break.
Yeah. We'll be back in about 22 hours. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
Duval.
Liam Cohen, I don't want anything bad to happen to you, honestly, but if Robert Saleh makes you choke on that, better for us all. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.